Thanks for the help that I had with the slideshow. Man, we looked through thousands of photos, and we're trying to get everybody. Some of you hide really well. Kim, I'm sorry. We could, man, it was hard. It was hard. Kathy, I had a hard time finding you. But we love you all. I'm sorry if you weren't in it, but we meant to try to get everybody we could find. I'm glad you're here. And I just want to quickly pray as we get into the Word this morning. Lord, as we look at the perhaps the most famous Bible story in the whole world, in history for sure, I pray that you would be glorified and that there would be a freedom for you just to be here and teach us. I'm glad we can celebrate today. It's awesome. But there is something you want to say to someone here today. And so I pray that there would just be that openness, make us teachable, and lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel 17, killing the Goliath in your life. Killing the Goliath or Goliaths in your life, maybe, huh? I saw this picture this week from the last week's All-Star game. Yao Ming, Shaquille O'Neal, and comedian Kevin Hart. Supposedly, Yao is 7'6". Shaq is 7'1", but I don't think so. Don't tell him, though. And then poor little comedian Kevin Hart is a lofty 5'4". Sometimes a picture kind of says it all, doesn't it? I was shopping last week at Fred Meyer, and just minding my own business with a cart, and this height-challenged older lady came up to me. I said, "Will you please help me?" And I said, "Sure, what do you need?" She says, up on the top shelf was the certain bag of potato chips that she wanted, and she could only have those. There were others I saw, but she said, "I want those up there." And so I said, "I would be glad to help you." So I reached for them, grabbed them for her, and then she started showing me, "Okay, now take those others and bring those down here." And all of a sudden, I was working for her, and it was very interesting. While we were doing that, I said to her, "Sometimes it's good to be tall. Sometimes it's good to be tall." And it's true. I like being tall most of the time. In today's passage, tall is bad. Tall is formidable. In our passage today, tall is scary. It's life-stifling. Tall is overwhelming. It can make you a victim. Today, you know, again, I can't think of a more famous story in the Bible than David and Goliath. Maybe some of the Jesus story for sure, but man, you just think about if you ever went to Sunday school, man, you heard David and Goliath a lot. How many of you have Goliaths in your life? We'll talk about what that means. It's just amazing to me to think about something that's very wrong in your life, and you know it. It's just something so wrong, or that thing that hurts so bad. Sometimes it's that one thing that ruins everything else in your life. That's how formidable that Goliath is. What's a Goliath? It's a situation. It's a problem. It's a circumstance, a pain, perhaps an addiction, something that is just overwhelming in your life, and it affects everything else. Giant problems can cause fear, right? Giant problems, Goliaths can cause fear, and maybe even emotional instability. It's so hard. It's so big. It's so overwhelming. It might be a medical Goliath. Anybody? Yeah? Medical Goliath? Anybody? Maybe a relationship Goliath? Are you thinking? Financial giants, anyone? Maybe it's a job-related Goliath? Whatever your Goliath is, it's big, and it doesn't go away. But in today's Bible passage, Goliath came out into the battlefront, and he taunted that Israelite army. Do you know how long? Every single day for 40 days, he would come out and do his thing. Bark, 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 bark. And just made fun of him and taunted him. And then the Israelites were so scared they wouldn't do anything. They just listened. And they would laugh at him. The Philistines would just laugh at the Israelites. Goliath would just boast, and he would go nuts. All of you have faced or are facing Goliaths. And if not yet, you will. I see people in this room who are being attacked by more than one Goliath. And I'll be praying for you. Last summer, I felt like I faced a Goliath again in my life. And concerning my wife's health, this usually is about that, or my, in my physical health as well. You know, last summer, you know, Bonnie's cancer was back again. Most of you know that. And she lost the function of a kidney. And she had to go back to Omaha for one of those great life-saving surgeries. We love life-saving surgeries in Omaha. And we dread life-saving surgeries in Omaha. But nearly 12 years, Bonnie has battled that giant, that Goliath. And praise the Lord, she's still standing. And she's back with the kids right now. She'll be back in a little bit later. Today, I want us all to call our big problems Goliaths. Call all our big problems Goliaths. Call it Goliath because you know how the story ends, right? You know how it ends, right? You don't know? David kills Goliath. Spoiler alert, yeah. David wins. Goliath loses. It's a good thing. So let's call our big problems Goliath, and let's talk about what it would look like if God would destroy that thing that's so big in your life. What would happen, huh? As we look in 1 Samuel 17, we get this first description of Goliath. This guy is massive. The Bible gives impressive details, like he is 9'6" tall. And they weren't as tall back in those days, I don't think. I mean, if history's right, 9'6", that is massive. He carried armor on him that weighed over 100 pounds, just the armor. He had all these weapons with him. It was just incredible. I tried to give you here a visual idea of what Goliath may have looked like, but it doesn't really do it. It didn't really work. But that boy is big. That boy is really big. Now comes David on the scene. Now comes David on the scene. And I'll skip some of the details, get to that good part, but like I said before, you know how it goes. How did David kill Goliath? How did David kill Goliath? We all know the answer, right? Slingshot, how many stones did it take? He picked up 5, only took 1. But you know what? It wasn't just the slingshot. It wasn't just the stone that killed Goliath. There was something else. There was something backing it up, wasn't there? There was an attitude. There was a spiritual perspective that David had that changed everything. Because how could this little young man take on the big Goliath? It's impossible. But somehow he did it. I want us to just study that just for a bit. How did he do this? How did it happen? Look at verse 26. It says, David's talking, and he's saying, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Who is this uncircumcised? I mean, that's kind of crude, isn't it? Uncircumcised Philistine. That's verse 26. He says it again in 36. "I have struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." You see, I said it both ways that way. That's an attitude, right? That's an attitude. Notice what David's intentionally saying here. Both times he compares the uncircumcised out of the covenant, not a Jew, Philistine. He's saying, look at who this is. Compare that to the living God. That's what David did. He boldly says, how dare this guy? I don't care how big he is. How dare this guy taunt the armies of the living God? It's not right. It's not right. And you as well, maybe. You need this healthy spiritual perspective switch, a little shift in how you're thinking to be able to see your Goliath as he truly, or he, she, or it really is. I got Googled. I turned off my phone. Honest. I don't know if you heard that, but David was a Philistine. Goliath, yeah, sorry. I'll stop yelling. Healthy perspective. See, why was David so preoccupied with Goliath's uncircumcision and his nationality? Why did that matter? What was going on? It's because he was not under God's covenants. And that is an important word. It's a very important word. We don't use it a lot today, unless you're in a homeowners association. They have covenants that they have to sign. But otherwise, we just don't use that much. But it is super, super important. Covenant. What is it? The best definition I heard, a divinely ordained relationship bond. A divinely ordained comes from God, and it's a relationship bond. It's a vow. It's an unbreakable vow for all you Harry Potter fans. It's a vow that's going to be kept that God makes, divinely ordained. It is through covenant that God accomplishes his work. When God wanted to connect with people and nations, he would make a covenant with them. This binding, divine, ordained covenant, a vow. Guys, every single Christ follower that is here today, every Christ follower is in the covenant. You are in the covenant. You've been saved. You are in a restored relationship with God. That's why we say people need the Lord. That's why we say you need to follow Christ, because you are in a broken relationship. But if you know Jesus, you are in a restored relationship. You are in the covenant. But David, didn't he have something more? David had some. Every Jew was in the covenant back then, right? What was different about David? He had something more. The way I heard this before, and I'm going to just see if it works. I think the difference was that he was under the covenant. He was under the covenant. He was completely protected, shielded, and a part of the covenant. Let's use the simple analogy of an umbrella. I know true Oregonians never use umbrellas, right? That's why I didn't bring one, because I couldn't dare. Not because I'm superstitious, but I'm an Oregonian. But I bet you don't use it, but I bet you all own one, right? So what? Several? Okay. They're so pretty. Now, you can have an umbrella, but never use it, like most of us. It's useless because an umbrella only works when you open it up and you get under it. Really obvious analogy, right? But it's also true that only when you are under the covenant of the Lord do you get the full benefits of it. Only when you are under the covenant of the Lord do you receive the full benefits of it. And when your giant, when your Goliath faces you, takes you on, God doesn't promise that there will be no Goliath in your life. He does say that the Goliath should not control your life. And when your Goliath is raining cats and dogs down on you, you're going to get wet unless you've got that covering, unless you have that covenant covering over you. I hope that makes sense. So when David sees Goliath, I love this. He doesn't even care about his size. He doesn't even talk about it. All he sees is what? He sees that Goliath is not under the covenant of the living God, and I am. And it had a huge perspective change for him. I have divine authority backing me up, and my problem doesn't. Isn't that good? One of the reasons in our disciple-making culture, which, if you don't know, guess that back, we've really made a shift in our philosophy of ministry. We're trying to become more of a disciple-making church. One of the things we are stressing is this covenant relationship with God that we all have, and what it looks like and how it works and how it helps us answer the question, who am I? Who am I really? Who am I? Because I think a lot of people have that question. And we just use this as a diagram to help us. We have Father God up above, and we have that covenant relationship with Father God. Not warrior God, not creator God, not king God. Our relationship is with Father God in this case. And he's the one that makes this covenant relationship with us. Because when we are under his covenant, we understand, we realize our new identity that says we are adopted men and women. We are children of the living God. We are sons and daughters. Our identity is wrapped up in God, who loves us unconditionally as we live in obedience to him. He gives us his spiritual authority to face the giants in our lives, because true discipleship is always under the covenant. This important word. David understood what it was like to be under the covenant. Do we? Do we? I think there's a lot of us here today, so many of us that are not living our lives under the covenant. I think we have this defensive stance instead. We're so afraid to face our Goliaths. What are you going to do about your money issues? I don't know. Maybe I'll just worry. What are you going to do about your relationship problems? I don't know. Eat a whole pizza? I don't know. What do I do? How do we resolve these Goliaths? Because we've got the wrong perspective. We've got the wrong attitude, the wrong stance. What did David do when he killed a lion, when he killed a bear while he was being a shepherd out in the fields? What did he do? He killed them, obviously, but look at this. I went after them. He ran to them. He went to his enemy. It's important. What did he do with Goliath? Guess what? Verse 48. David ran out, quickly to meet him. David ran to him. Isn't that interesting? He wasn't defensive. He was offensive in a good way. Offensive. On the offense, right? And this is the secret sauce, guys, to what it means to be under the covenant of the Lord rather than just in it. You're under it. It's because throughout the Bible, there are people that have huge problems, right? Huge problems, huge issues, and we get to enjoy these stories. God usually waits to work until his people are ready and they take that first step of faith. They run to their issue. Think about it. God told Joshua to have the priest put their feet in the water of the Jordan River first, and then it started to divide. Moses had to hold up his staff. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. If he dropped it, the Amalekites would win. But God said, as long as you keep that up, you will destroy the Amalekite army. God told Noah to build an ark. Wasn't a rain cloud in sight for years. Why did he have to build that ark? God wanted to see his obedience, if he was ready. And God saved him and his family when the floods came. God told the people of Israel to march around Jericho how many days? 7 days. And on the seventh day, seven times. Holy moly. What good did that do? After that seventh day and seventh time, the walls came tumbling down, right? And it happened because God wanted his people to act. He wanted to see the people involved in it, proactively working with him on the issue at hand. Even Jesus, when he told Peter to cast that fishing net on the other side of the boat, Peter had been fishing all day long, hadn't caught a single fish. And Jesus yells out at him, try the other side. And Peter's going, I tried it many, how many times today already? Okay, I'll do it. And too many fish that he couldn't even, the net's ripped. Think about it. God could have easily killed Goliath any of those 40 days. Just zapped him, right? Ping. That would have been a good story. That would have been a great story in the Bible. God had target practice with Goliath. But, and quite frankly, he could handle all the Goliaths in your life as well, right? He could. But God wants to see us walk in faith. He wants us to be proactive. That's what it means to live under the covenant. I'm depending on my special relationship with the Lord, and we are working together to solve any Goliath that we face. You are so sure that God has your back that nothing can stop you from facing your Goliath. Nothing. I mean, David was almost cocky. He was so confident, not because of his skills or his size. He was confident because of his relationship with the Lord God of hosts. Guys, you need to learn to walk in faith. Don't just talk it. Walk it. You need to move by faith. Don't just mouth it. God will do a supernatural work in your life. But he wants you to be ready to face your giant and at the right time to run to it in faith. That's a different perspective than we normally talk about, isn't it? To run to our Goliath, to run to our issue because God's behind us. God wants to see you move toward the Goliath head on with no fear. And he promises to take care of you. There might even be a miracle or two in your story. I want to brag on one of our guys here. I know he doesn't want me to. But this example just fits so well. I'm going to pick on you, John Bentley. As we've been praying for our youth group this year, there have been a few of you, just soldiers, have been praying, and I thank you for that. There's been a passion for prayer for this young fledgling youth group. And John had this kind of passion or this idea like, man, I just feel like we should like walk through Alder Creek Middle School. We should prayer walk. I just feel like we should do that. And he'd come up to us and we'd all go, that's a great idea, John. Let's think about that for a while. That's a great idea, John. Let's pray about that some more. And John was gracious. He was fine. A few days later, he just walks into the school office without an appointment and asked to speak with the principal. He had to wait over a half hour, but he got to talk to him and said, hey, what would you think if some of us kind of crazy Christians came in and prayed for your school and for you? And I started to cringe at that point when John told me what he did. I started to go, oh, no, are you okay, John? Because I knew how the principal was going to react. You know, some liberal educator, you don't want those Bible-thumping holy rollers to come in here, cause problems, right? That's what I was thinking. So I'm sorry, John, are you okay? And John said he loved the idea. He warmed up, I mean, he kept warming up to it. He says, can I be there with you when you pray? I want to be there with you. And it just the snowball started happening, and it was so exciting. This is a huge giant. This Alder Creek Middle School in Rao and all our schools is a massive giant. But it's so fun to see God starting to work as we run and face the giant, face the Goliath. Real quick, we met. That was last Sunday, guys. Last Sunday was when we got the okay. It was after church, so we didn't hear about it. But some of you got on the tech stuff. Some of you guys started calling, and it was awesome. We had almost over 25 people there Tuesday night. And if you didn't hear about it, sorry, next time, because we'll be more organized. But this was on the cuff. It was fast. And we went and we asked the principal. We were all in the office. And we asked the principal just to share something to encourage us or what's the issues at hand. And Mr. Candler, for a while there, couldn't talk. He was so overwhelmed. He was overcome with emotions. And he was so grateful. I'm not exactly sure where he's at with the Lord, but I know he's at least sympathetic, has come to church some places and stuff. But anyway, we got to walk, touch each locker, touch each classroom door, and we walked around all that school. And there was a beautiful presence of the Lord that I don't think has probably been in that school for years. So I praise God for that. And I praise God for you, David. I mean, John. Good job. Good job. The story will continue. That giant is not dead yet. But we are so much closer thanks to John's simple obedience. That's the thing. It was a simple act of obedience. You had no idea how he's going to react or respond. It didn't matter. You just went, and it's a perfect example of living under the covenant. So look with me at verse 45. Look what David also had as his weapon. Not just a slingshot. Well, there we are at the end. Very blurry, sorry. Here's what David said to Goliath. You come to me with weapons. And he mentioned, if you look at your story, you'll see swords and javelins and spears and all that kind of stuff. I come to you in what? In the name of the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. Literally is what that means. All right? And then later he said, the battle belongs, a famous declaration, the battle belongs to the Lord, to Yahweh. Why is that important? Why is that part of this covenant thing? Because when you're under the covenant, you acknowledge who God is. Do you know that there are 85 names for God in the Old Testament? And a lot of them have specific context to them. And in this case, these are the two things that David chose. The Lord of the armies, the Lord of hosts, maybe angel armies, but also people armies, and Yahweh, I am that I am. I come to you in the name of the Lord. What's in a name? What's in a name? David chose the name Warrior God to yell out at the giant. He chose that name because it had authority and power behind it. He didn't need all those fancy weapons. All he needed was a smooth stone and the miraculous presence and power of God behind it. And that's what killed the giant. So guys, let me leave you here with a challenge. I want you first to, number one, name the Goliath in your life. If you're ever in rehab, you hear the term, name that sucker. And this is what we all have to do. Name the Goliaths that are just too big for us in our lives. Name them. Call them Goliath. Call it her Goliath. Call it Goliath. What's scaring you? What's keeping you depressed and sad? What's overwhelming you? And then number two, I didn't word this very well, I'm sorry, but you need to, as you're in this process of naming it, find out what the rule book says. I hate the word rule book, but find out what the covenant book, our word of God, find out what it says. What does it say about God when in how we should address our Goliath? Don't just go at this Goliath willy-nilly. Don't do something silly to fight in your own strength. Listen to the Lord for directions. Remember Proverbs 3? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your pathway straight. All right? Make sure you're in a healthy, dependent relationship in the Lord. That'll keep you under the umbrella, under the covenant. And then third, that's what it means. And then place yourself under the covenant of the Lord. That's where your strength comes from. You need to know who you are in God's eyes. You need to be reminded of your spiritual adoption. Miraculous answers don't just happen. I'm sorry. You have to be ready. I heard this story. I'm going to give Pastor Tony Evans all the credit in the world because he deserves it. A little girl was running outside and there was a dog chasing her. A little yappy dog was just barking, bark, 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 and yapping at her legs. And she was so scared. She was crying. She was freaking out. And as she's doing this, Dad hears her inside the house, and he runs out and sees what's going on. The girl sees her dad, and she runs to him, jumps up, and in the dad's arms, and everything's good. Everything's safe. But this stupid dog is still there. Now it's under the dad, biting at his leg, pant leg, and barking, 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 nonstop, just yap, 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 yap. The girl's still crying. It's still just kind of a disaster. All of a sudden, the girl looks up at her dad's face and then looks down at the dog. She's still crying. Looks up at her dad's face, looks down at the dog again. And then all of a sudden, she stops crying. And she stares at that dog, has a look on her face, and she taunts that dog. Na, 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 na. What changed her perspective? What changed her perspective? Same dog, same noise. What changed her perspective? That's who was holding her, right? She recognized that she was protected by someone bigger than the Goliath in her life. Got it? Do you get it? She recognized that she was with someone bigger than the Goliath that you face in your life. You have to do that. God is in your corner. He's on your side. You'll come under his covenantal covering, if that's a word, and you'll find out that your Goliaths are gonna fall. They're gonna fall because the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for showing us again in your word what it means to live our lives totally devoted to you. Father, on this 15th anniversary of Two Rivers Church, I want to pray that you would just continue to teach us how to be more like David and show us what it means to be under your covenant. Help us to know that in every circumstance, no matter how big, that the battle always belongs to the Lord, to you, Lord. And whatever the giants and whatever the Goliaths are, Lord, help us to face them. And when we're ready and when you say go, that we will run to them. And we will take them on in your power. It reminded me of the chorus that we like to sing. Can you unfreeze it for me? I know who goes before me, right? I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever. He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory.